I need to begin this week's episode with two corrections surrounding the navigation story from last week. First, there are not three but four Global Navigation Satellite Systems, or GNSSs, in the world. I mentioned GLONASS, Galileo, and GPS, but I neglected to mention BeiDou, which is operated by the Chinese government. Second, showing a profound lack of attention to detail on my part, I've learned that the LORAN system was deprecated over a decade ago, a fact that had somehow escaped my attention. I apologize for this, as I want to bring you not just interesting, but accurate information. And now, on with the show. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 89 of Little Brother for the 18th of June, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. If you use the K9 email client for Android or the Thunderbird email client for desktop, I use both, you will soon notice some changes as the two are going to become one. There's been some work going on for about 4 years now to make the two email clients work more effectively together. However, this week came the announcement that the two are now being co-developed and that K9 is officially part of the Thunderbird family. Per the blog post on the K9 Mail app website, quote, "As a user of K9 Mail, there's nothing you have to do right now. Just continue to use the app and enjoy it getting better over time," end quote. After 26 years, Microsoft have retired Internet Explorer. Support for IE officially ended on Wednesday, and with the most recent round of updates, clicking on the IE icon will instead open Microsoft Edge, Microsoft's Chromium-based successor to IE. The cheers of web developers could be heard around the world, as the standards for web development have now become just a little bit more standard. On the downside, some issues may arise for folks who rely on Internet Explorer to maintain embedded devices with ancient firmware. The obvious fix is to patch your systems, but as much as I want to kick in my signature reverb for that, sometimes the kit is ancient and the option just isn't there. One of the features of Tesla's vehicles is the ability to unlock the car and start it using a smartphone app which communicates with the car via Bluetooth. Bluetooth is, of course, radio, and radio travels. This opens up the possibility of intercepting and mimicking the signal. Well, as it turns out, security research Malton Heffelt has figured it out. For one thing, he was able to note that the car is visible to any BLE radio and broadcasts a unique ID which poses a privacy risk, ability to be tracked in your car. But also, he was able to unlock and drive the car by monitoring from a safe distance. Heffelt reported his findings to Tesla, who have acknowledged that this is a known limitation and recommend setting a pin on the car using the pin-to-drive feature to prevent the car from being stolen. However, any property that you might keep in your car is still at risk of theft. Juul versus NSA is a class action lawsuit that was filed in 2008 by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who were representing AT&T customer Carolyn Juul, one of many folks whose communications were sucked up by an NSA dragnet. There's not a lot of secret left to this. There have been several whistleblowers who've brought attention to it, including Thomas Drake, Bill Binney, and most famously, Ed Snowden. However, despite the total lack of secrets left intact, the EFF this week received the bad news that the Supreme Court will not take the case because there are too many national security secrets involved in the case to allow it to be heard in an open court. Paraphrasing EFF lawyer Cindy Cohn, yes, you heard that right. Something that we all know is still officially a secret and so cannot be the subject of litigation. As part of its pandemic response, China implemented a smartphone app that can be used as a passport of sorts to do various things in your day-to-day life. A simple red-yellow-green coloring scheme indicates whether or not you're permitted to do certain things, or do things with some restrictions. Ostensibly, it's based on your risk of exposure and contagion in the context of whatever other risks go with the thing that you're trying to do. Operated in good faith, it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing at all. Operated by the Chinese government, however, is another story. It seems that the Chinese authorities in the Henan province have been abusing it, using the app to restrict the activities of citizens for other reasons, such as, for instance, throttling economic activity when the bank is running low on cash. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. The winner this week is Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente is a not-for-profit health plan that provides services to roughly 12.5 million U.S. residents in 8 states and D.C. Back in April, an attacker got into an email account at the organization and from there was able to get access to roughly 69,000 customers' personal health information. It is not exactly clear how access to an email account got them that. With that, it appears that the attackers had access to patients' names, medical record numbers, dates of service, and laboratory test results. The attack was detected quickly, and the compromised employee account was revoked. Kaiser Permanente have said that they do not believe that any of the data that could have been accessed was exfiltrated, but they're sharing the information with the public because they can't be certain. The role of a license plate on a car is pretty simple, really. Present a unique identifier that goes with the car, or more accurately, with its registration. In the U.S., up to 8 characters, plus the state where it was issued, will uniquely identify a vehicle, allowing the owner and other pertinent information to be looked up in a database. It's been like this for a very long time. Maybe the database was a bunch of paper files at some point in time, but the basic idea has always been there. Provide some way to identify the registered owner of a car. Apparently, the state of Michigan has looked at this whole thing and thought that perhaps the whole process could be just a little bit more digital. Michigan now issues digital license plates with 2 versions available. One version that runs on the car's power supply and another version that comes with a battery with a 5-year projected useful lifespan. With this, you have the ability to change the way your plate number is displayed between a light mode and a dark mode, Ooh, it can alert you if your vehicle moves. Okay, that's kind of useful. And you can report the vehicle stolen via an Android or iPhone app. So, more tracking. Got it. Reporting a stolen vehicle via an app seems like the sort of thing that could be done without adding something to the car. Though, maybe using that to track where it went would be useful? I'm not sure. However, for the price tag of approximately $1,000, I'm kind of wondering if there's maybe a better way to achieve these results. I also predict fake plates with changing numbers appearing sometime soon, now that the door has been opened for a license plate to be an electronic display. Literally as I was writing this very script, I saw a post from an occasional listener to the show pointing to a webpage for Ray-Ban. If I had the rights to commercial music, this is where I would drop the needle on some ZZ Top. But Chuck, I hear you asking, why are you taking up podcast time talking about sunglasses? I'm so glad you asked. It seems that the sunglasses in this case are Ray-Ban smart glasses. The listener comment with the post was, quote, about to get real creepy, end quote. It seems that these glasses have a tiny camera embedded into the corner of the frame. Capture the memory as you live it, they say. Hear it as it happens, they say. Share it with the world, they say. The gut reaction, oh great, more cameras. Hey, that's completely understandable. But I want to offer a counterpoint. Before I do, I want to make this perfectly clear that these two points are not mutually exclusive. Sunglasses with a built-in camera are a tool. Like any tool, it's not good or evil in and of itself. A hammer can build a house or can smash a skull. A gun can be used in war or can put food on the table. A table that can host a meal or it can host a meth lab. You get the idea. So, I am a big fan of the idea of surveillance. So what's that? Let's start with the word surveillance. It's a French word. It means oversight. Not oversight as in I didn't see something, but oversight as in supervision. It's a compound word, and the prefix sur means on or over. Its opposite is sous, that's spelled S-O-U-S, which means under. In a kitchen, for instance, the sous chef assists the chef. They work under the chef. Surveillance, therefore, is literally undersight. Instead of looking down from a position of power, we're looking up. There's been a lot of surveillance in recent decades, especially in recent years. The first big case of it was back in the 90s when the LAPD were videotaped beating the tar out of Rodney King. There was the whole makers and takers speech by Mitt Romney that was intended for a limited audience, but got captured on the cell phone of one of the waitstaff at the event. Surveillance is used at inland border checks by people who find the practice to be illegitimate. Store staff acting badly? Out comes the cell phone, and yet another video ends up on YouTube. On the whole, I like surveillance. Not every video captured is of a genuine injustice. In fact, many times the person taking the video is the Karen, as far as I can tell. But surveillance is a great tool for outing bad behavior from people who are either in a perceived or actual position of power. A perfect example is one of the videos I've seen a few times. A kid is riding his bike in a suburban neighborhood, his neighborhood, and he gets accosted by a Karen. The Karen makes various accusations and then even goes and lies to the kid's parents. However, the kid had a GoPro that he had just gotten that day for his birthday. He was out trying it out when all of this went down. Let me tell you, I would have loved to have that kind of a witness in my court as a kid. But it's not just kids, obviously. Dash cams have become very popular, especially in some parts of the world, as a hedge against scammers and corrupt authorities. In one of my favorites, which involved an actual friend of mine in Miami, who was testing a new 360-degree dash cam, and he came across a sobriety checkpoint, the dash cam actually caught audio of the police trying to figure out how to disable it. As we're so often told, you know, if you're following the rules, you have nothing to fear, right? Right? Yeah, right. Surveillance is all about evening the playing field. It's about punching up. It's about telling on Big Brother. And to me, that's why sunglasses with a built-in camera are a good thing. As usual, we'll end this week's show with a fail of the week. This week, the award goes to Lenovo. The Unified Extensible Firmware Interface, or UEFI, or sometimes just called EFI, is one of the two firmware systems found in contemporary computer systems, the other being the decades older and far less flexible Basic Input-Output System, or BIOS. This is the first code that your computer runs when you power it on. It performs basic tests of your computer's health, and then locates and boots your operating system. The key word in the name of UEFI is extensible. Drivers can be added to the system to extend its capabilities to meet whatever need your computer system, its manufacturer, or the operating system may require. Lenovo and probably other computer manufacturers have some drivers that are intended to be used in the design process of the computer, but which are not needed and actually should not be there in the finished product, and are intended to be removed from the firmware image before the image gets put into any production computers. The keywords there, supposed to. It seems as though Lenovo left in place some diagnostic drivers, leaving their machines vulnerable. Two specific vulnerabilities were discovered. These vulnerabilities collectively give an attacker the ability to put a persistent exploit right in the firmware of a compromised computer, meaning that even reinstalling the operating system from scratch will not clear it. And another enables access to arbitrary addresses in the machine's memory. Collectively, this is a privacy nightmare. Now, I could make some crack about choosing some other brand of machine than Lenovo, but let's be honest, this was a human mistake. This is the sort of thing that could happen anywhere that humans are involved in the process, and so, yeah, Lenovo just drew the short straw. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the Crowded Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to B-Spa, Azriel, Julie Bernstein, Knight Rider 007, and Fungaboo for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwnt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. And our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.